reducing your consumption, particularly of red meat, can actually be one of the best individual actions that we can take towards fighting climate change.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Eco Alarm. I'm your host, Savannah.
And I'm your co-host, Sarah.
And today we're going to be speaking to Dominic Borelli.
Yes, so Dominic is a senior at USC studying environmental studies while pursuing a progressive degree, master's program in spatial data science. He is also the co-president of Clover. And so we're just going to go ahead and get started. I'm just curious, Dominic, what Clover is at USC and how long you've been involved.
Yeah, so Clover is one of our environmental registered student organizations at USC, and it's actually an acronym. It's quite a long title, but it stands for the Conscientious Living Organization for Veganism, Environmentalism, and Reducitarianism. And I have been in the org. I technically joined freshman year when it was online, just as like a general member. And then as we transitioned back into on-campus activities post-COVID, I was vice president for 1 year, and then I've been the co-president for the past 2 years.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that introduction. We were wondering if you can sort of tell us what kinds of events Clover normally does and how you guys do that focus on veganism and vegetarianism in the student body and, you know, how your events work to promote that.
Yeah, for sure. So Clover does like a really wide range of events. So those could be anything from our more like social events where we go to different restaurants in LA, different vegan restaurants in LA, different vegan food truck festivals, stuff like that, just to like expose people more to vegan and vegetarian food in like a safe and comfortable environment. And then we also do more informational events. So we've screened documentaries about, you know, different animal rights, veganism or environmentalism topics. We've had guest speakers come. Like once we had someone come and talk about how she lives a zero waste lifestyle. And then we also do some like activism events as well. So our primary one is our vegan food bank, which is a monthly event that we host in partnership with Jubilee Vegan Cafe, which is through the Office of Religious and Spiritual Life, and then as well as an external partner, Vegans of LA. And so that is where we provide basically free vegan groceries to like every student on campus. You don't even have to be vegan to like go to our food bank. And we've done a couple other activism events as well, like visiting animal sanctuaries and stuff like that. And so our biggest thing is about kind of creating a positive atmosphere surrounding veganism and vegetarianism with like an emphasis that you don't have to identify or eat a certain way to be in Clover. But if you have a curiosity, you want to meet people who are like-minded, who care about the environment, animal rights, et cetera, and you want to be able to have a safe space to go and try different foods and stuff like that. That's kind of Clover's main mission. And so through our different kind of branches of events, we try to expose people to as many kind of aspects of this space as possible.
That's really great. I like that, of course, you guys are taking this active role, even all the way from COVID online, and that you've been able to transition so well back in person and have that personable aspect again with your club. And so you talk about reaching people who are just even interested in maybe veganism, vegetarianism. So I'm just curious about how long you yourself, if you're vegan, vegetarian, if you can talk about that.
Yeah, so it's actually been quite a while. I think I first became vegetarian in like seventh grade after watching a documentary on Netflix. And then dairy kind of hurt my stomach anyways. And I was like, oh, you know what? Like after a little while, I was like, you know, I don't know if I love eggs that much anyways. And so I think about a year and a half later, I became fully vegan, and I've been pretty much fully vegan since about eighth grade. So if I do my math correctly, I think this is like 7 years or 8 years. It's been quite a while, especially like going through your teenage years, being that. But yeah, it's been great. And I think like having a community at USC where I can connect with other people who, whether they're flexitarian, whether they just do meatless Mondays, or whether they've been vegan their entire life, I think it's been nice to kind of have like a more supportive community, especially because I'm from the Midwest, from an Italian family that's very like, you know, meat and cheese heavy. And so it was definitely hard to transition into vegetarianism at first. So it's been nice to kind of have and continue to create a community at USC that's very veg friendly.
That's awesome. So we've kind of thrown around quite a few terms of like vegetarian, flexitarian, vegan. Do you mind walking through some of those terms and what they mean just for anybody who isn't familiar with them or who's interested in what might be right for them if they're wanting to pursue a more plant-based diet?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think so many of these terms are thrown around and it can almost even seem intimidating. And so, you know, that's part of Clover's mission too, and like being an educational org as well, to kind of demystify it and make it something that's, you know, not as scary as it sounds. So I guess I'll start with the more like popular terms, the ones you've more likely probably heard. So there's vegetarian, and that is someone who does not eat any meat, any fish, any chicken, nothing like that, but they may consume dairy or egg products or other animal products like that. So typically they stay away from anything meat or fish, but they might eat other animal products. Then there's kind of a subset of that, which is like pescatarian. That is someone who does eat fish, but doesn't eat chicken, beef, pork, things like that. And some of those definitions are flexible. Some people say they're pescatarian, they might eat chicken. And like that's whole Clover's whole thing is like, you know, we don't judge, however you want to identify. Food is food, nourish your body type of thing. Then vegan is someone who does not eat meat, fish, poultry, anything like that. And in addition, they do not consume any other animal products. And so that means they don't eat anything dairy, so no cheese, no milk. They don't consume egg products, and including products that contain those, such as pastries. And then this is where it kind of gets, you know, there's like some gray area. Some vegans who are a little bit stricter may not eat any animal products whatsoever, including honey. Some vegans, including myself, if a product has honey in it, I might eat it. So again, like, there's some fuzzy definitions around certain products, but generally if someone says they're vegan, you can assume they don't eat meat, dairy, or eggs. And then flexitarian is kind of a newer term. It's become more mainstream. I don't know if it even has like a rigid definition, but it's typically someone who, you know, they might eat vegetarian sometimes, but if, you know, their grandma makes them a chicken pot pie, they might eat it out of respect, for example. Or, you know, they might do, you know, instead of just doing meatless Mondays, they might do meatless Monday, Wednesday, Friday, like, for example. So it's a lot looser, but typically if someone's a flexitarian, they try to eat as vegetarian as possible, but they're not as strict about it. And then reducitarian, which you might have picked up from Clover's name, that's the R in Clover. That's also kind of a newer term, and that is just someone who is interested in reducing their impact on the planet, particularly. And so that kind of like, I feel that it overlaps with flexitarianism a lot, in that like you're not really strictly following a certain diet pattern, but you know you're just trying to do your best. So whether that means eating less meat, whether that just means, you know, lifestyle changes like using less water, not wearing, you know, leather, for example. So those kind of all go into, you know, reducing your impact. So yeah, a lot of different terms, a lot of different ways that, you know, people can choose to, you know, eat and live their life. But I think our big thing as Clover is like, we don't prescribe or we don't accept just one of those. Like, we're open to everyone. And I think life's too short to have these hard and fast rules about what to and to not eat. So yeah, those are just some of the terms being thrown out in media today.
Thank you for defining all of those. I hope that was definitely helpful for listeners. I'm also just curious, I think Savannah and I may know what some of the benefits may be to going maybe completely vegan, or maybe starting small, going vegetarian, maybe a little meatless Mondays every other week. But I'm just curious if you can also share what some of the benefits are of going plant-based.
Yeah, for sure. And I think a lot of the consensus right now in the scientific community is that, you know, reducing your consumption, particularly of red meat, can actually be one of the best individual actions that we can take towards fighting climate change. When I think of reducing impact from a plant-based diet, the biggest thing I think about are greenhouse gas emissions. Eating a plant-based diet can reduce your carbon emissions by up to 45% from your diet as a whole. So it's a pretty big reduction. And that's because of a lot of what goes into producing the food, but also the food, quote unquote, itself. So for example, cows, as animals, produce a lot of methane. They eat and then they fart. And that greenhouse gas, methane particularly, is actually almost 30 times more potent than carbon dioxide. And we all know carbon dioxide is the big warmer of our planet and the big contributor to the greenhouse effect, but methane's also a pretty bad one. And then I also think a lot about water and how much water it takes to produce the food that we eat. And so, for example, 1 pound of beef takes around 1,800 gallons of water to produce, which is a lot. That's definitely more than the typical human is using in their average day, month, or even year, potentially, just to produce 1 pound of beef. And so these processes are definitely quite intensive on the environment. And unfortunately, you know, we as the consumers of animal products, and particularly meat, are so sheltered from the realities of what it takes to produce them and where it's being produced, where it's being shipped from. And all of that adds up into kind of the life cycle of producing food and getting it to our table. You know, the benefits and the impact on the environment are kind of numerous. Another one also is land space. A lot of space is being cleared in the Amazon rainforest in South America to make space for more, particularly cattle and farming operations. And so it has slowed a little bit in recent years because there's been larger movements to really push back against the deforestation. But the Amazon is like one of the most biodiverse ecosystems in the entire planet. It's a huge carbon sink, and we're actively kind of burning it on a daily basis to make more space for agriculture. So not to get too like down in the dumps about it, but you know, there's definitely a big impact with our diet. And so by switching to a more plant-based diet, again, even if it's just like one meal a week, can have really, really giant impacts on how much we as individuals are contributing to global climate change.
Yeah, 100%. That's definitely one of the reasons why I've been trying to eat more plant-based as well, because of all of those pretty shocking statistics about how big of an impact agriculture has, and particularly, you know, raising cattle and other livestock and stuff. I guess pivoting to more of a personal point of view, I'm curious for myself and for listeners, like, what do you do to make eating vegan or, you know, plant-based more affordable for yourself? And do you have any kind of tips in that sense for, I don't know, things that you like to buy or things that you like to cook that you want to share with the listeners?
Yeah, no, that's like such a great question. You know, I think affordability is a big thing for me as someone who, you know, is on like CalFresh and like food stamps, and just in general as a broke college student. And particularly because I think veganism gets a bad rep with like for being super expensive, which it 100% can be if you choose to like do it in a certain way. My tips in terms of like making it more accessible and more affordable, I actually really recommend, especially if you're a USC student listening to this, like Trader Joe's. Even their like vegan cheeses, their vegan meats are a lot cheaper than the ones that you'll find at Target and certainly Whole Foods and even Ralph's. And so especially if you are someone who's kind of starting that transition, I really recommend, you know, I don't recommend always eating those products like the vegan meats and the vegan cheeses, but I think they can be a really helpful component of, you know, starting to eat more plant-based because they feel more familiar. But Trader Joe's in general, their snacks, their plant-based products, their fruits and vegetables, I found to be a lot more affordable. I get a lot of food each week and I really only spend like anywhere from like 50 to 75 a week. And that includes like a lot of frozen meals and a lot of like prepackaged stuff. And I certainly could have worked that down if I just like ate more like raw fruits and vegetables. I just don't have time for that. And I know the average college student doesn't have time to like cut up a bunch of fruit each week. So, you know, definitely want to be mindful of that. But I also think veganism doesn't have to be expensive and plant-based food doesn't have to be expensive. And I think we forget that a lot of the foods that are plant-based, that are naturally plant-based, are relatively affordable. Beans, rice, vegetables, other legumes, peanut butter, like a lot of the staples that I use in my diet that are high protein, that are very filling, high fiber, really good for you. They cost pennies on the dollar. You know, you could get a can of beans for 50 cents sometimes, depending on where you shop. And I've found that I've been able to create really fulfilling meals, filling, hearty meals, even if it's just like I season up some rice and beans and that, and I put some vegetables in it. Yeah, it sounds basic, but like sometimes when you have 15 minutes to cook dinner, that's all you can make. Like that's sometimes what you got to do. And it's a pretty cheap meal that will fill you and keep you sustained. But if you do have a little bit more time on your hands, or you know, you want to dabble into cooking, or if you like to cook, one of my favorite things to do is try to like naturally veganize my favorite recipes, especially like if you are kind of in that transitional phase or you're trying to explore, you know, vegetarianism, veganism more. It can be helpful to eat a lot of familiar foods, but you know, vegetarian or vegan versions. So my favorite thing is a lasagna, but I use tofu to make the ricotta cheese. You just like blend it up with like spices, herbs, lemon juice, etc. And it's kind of amazing how it turns to like a very like ricotta, like cheesy like texture. And so yeah, when I have time, I can bring out the pan, I can get the lasagna noodles. Like I love to make that. Oh, that's definitely more of like a specialty thing that I make. But I do think it just kind of goes to show like how creative you really can be with it, and how many options that you have, and that, you know, you don't just have to be eating, you know, bananas and peanut butter and pretzels all day. Like you can really kind of expand your horizons, but I know it can be intimidating. And so definitely, you know, start small, start with what you can do, start with things that are familiar, and just hit up your local Trader Joe's because they have some really crazy deals on some really yummy food. That I know it's not like an ad for Trader Joe's, I promise. I'm not sponsored.
No, yeah. I love they have a lot of vegan and vegetarian options. And like you said, things that are already prepared. So it's definitely really nice when you're on the go and busy. But yeah, aside from that, we would love to know before we go just what the next events are coming up for Clover. If you want anybody who's in the local area or other students to come check you out. Where can we find Clover on Instagram and stuff? Let us know.
Yeah. So if you're interested in learning more about Clover, definitely follow us on Instagram at USC Clover. That's USC Clover. Pretty easy to remember. That's where we post like all of our events that are coming up, and you can keep, you know, current with our news and stuff like that. So our upcoming events, we have on-campus meetings every other week, and then on the off weeks we do a different outing. So we go to a different vegan restaurant in LA, try something new. So our next outing actually is next Tuesday at 7. If you're interested, definitely check out our Instagram for like transportation details. But we're going to this place called Taco Vega in kind of like mid-city area, and it's like really good vegan tacos and burritos. It's not too expensive, and so that's really yummy. And then we'll have spring break, and then we'll return with our on-campus meetings. And yeah, but we're really open to anyone. Like, please do not feel like if you aren't vegan, vegetarian, if you're just only curious, like you can't come. Like, those are the people that we want. We want to just make a really welcoming environment for everyone. So if you have any interest in any of this at all, or if you have suggestions of ideas and events that you'd like to see, we're so, so open to it. But yeah.
Nice. Thank you so much, Dominic. You took the words right out of my mouth. Again, if you're interested, just please tap in. It's a really great experience just to have, again, like you said earlier, to have people who are living out this lifestyle or even just curious in it, to have that already on campus is a really great foundation for anyone that's interested. So please look into Clover's Instagram. And so we thank you again, Dominic, for joining us on Eco Alarm. And we hope that all of you guys can be inspired this week, maybe to just eat one plant-based meal, maybe substitute, maybe try that lasagna that Dominic was talking about, and just report back to us. Thank you all.